Alright, this is Brother Eddie Wade, pastor of Landmark Baptist Church. We're thankful to be in the house of God here on Wednesday night, prayer meeting Wednesday night. Thank you for tuning in. We're just trying to be a blessing. Brother Patrick, he's over here with me. Going to sing us a song here in just a second. We're going to have a word of prayer. I think everything ought to be by prayer and thanksgiving. Yeah. And we can't pray too much. We can pray too little, but we can't pray too much. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I was talking to my wife today, and when I first got saved, didn't know anything. Just a babe in Christ. Just got saved. And me and my family went to the Burger Queen restaurant right there in Glasgow, Highway 90. Ain't even there today, but it was right there where the city pool is there. And the manager there was Marshall Kearney. How'd you know him, brother? We growed up together. But anyway, we went in there and we got our meal, sit down there at the table, two little girls, a little boy, a little eight-year-old boy. Me and my wife sitting at that table, and I started to eat. My little eight-year-old boy said, "Daddy, aren't we going to turn thanks?" And I said, "Yeah, we are, son, we are." I mean, I thank him for doing that. I didn't, not only did I have no intention of turning thanks, but I didn't know how to turn thanks. But we bowed our head. We done the best we could to thank God for that food and ask His blessings on it. We got done, that whole restaurant was in tears. People coming over hugging our necks, saying they got such a blessing. Seeing a family bow their head, turn thanks over their food. And you know, we ought to do that, really. I mean, I just got saved, didn't know I've been doing it ever since. But we ought to do that, really, over everything that we eat. And I'll tell you why. I've read my Bible through over 21 times. Even tonight, we're just trying to expound upon some of the great treasures and truth that's in the Word of God. But this is not etched in stone. I can't prove this, but I do believe that maybe in some cases, cancer or even sickness might even be attributed to not turning thanks over what you're getting ready to eat. Amen. The reason I say that is because God put a curse on the ground for Adam's sake there in Genesis chapter 3, and He cursed it again in Cain's, Genesis chapter 4, for Cain's sake, and He said the earth won't yield its strength. And you can have a curse or you can have a blessing. Now, if I'm going to eat something, I want God's blessings on it. I encourage you to want the same thing. I don't wish cancer on nobody. I don't wish sickness on nobody. But I'll tell you what, old Brother Eddie, I've been turning thanks over my food now for 36 years. I'm 70 years old. I don't feel like it. But every time I look in the mirror, I realize I am 70 years old. And I have to admit, I don't take any medication. I don't even think I was this strong when I was a teenager. And I do believe God will bless faithfulness. I do believe that when you put God first, that He'll honor you when you honor Him. The Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There in Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's verse number 6. And we are to honor God in everything that we do. So we want to go to God in prayer right now. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, that You gave us to enjoy. Lord, all this day long, Lord, I was looking for reasons to thank You. And I thank You, Lord. I never ran out of reasons to thank You, Lord, today. Lord, my wife went to the doctor today. What a blessing, Lord, that was. And Lord, she got back home. And Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for all Your bountiful blessings. Thank You for bringing my wife through the ordeal she's been through. And Lord, thank You, Lord, for Sister Joanne. I think she's back home. And Lord, we're praying, Lord, for these, Father, their health in decline. We're praying, Lord, for Brother Bruce. Lord, his health in decline. Praying, Father, Lord, a list, Lord, of people got cancer. People, Lord, struggling with their health. People, Lord, struggling walking with God. Lord, they're kind of like in a straight 22, trying to decide to live for the world or live for God. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I would to God we had a multitude of Joshuas today that would have a heart for God and have a desire to be a blessing, Lord. And Father, I pray for all of our sick. Pray for all those that's lost loved ones. Pray for those, Father, cold and indifferent, Father, those, Father, that, Lord, the devil's got them down. We pray for them, Lord. They'll look to the hills which cometh their help. Our help cometh from the Lord, made heaven and earth. And Lord, we pray for our country, Lord. This country, Father, used to stand 10 foot tall for God. Lord, it used to be real when it said, "In God we trust." It used to be for real when it said, "One nation under God." But now, Lord, we're many nations under many gods. And Lord, now, Father, I believe our motto should be cleared up to say, "In government we trust." And I do believe, God, you still have, Lord, a will for America. I know America's always been a friend to Israel. I know you still, Lord, hadn't give up on America. But America needs to do a Nineveh repentance from the greatest to the least. Now, I pray for this country to come to itself like that prodigal boy did in Luke chapter 15 and said, "I'll rise and go to my father's house." I would to God America could do that. I'd like to see our schools, Lord, teaching our children right things, reading, writing, arithmetic, and how to forgive one another and how to get along. And Lord, I wish they wouldn't mess with their mind with it. Lord, that gender nonsense and climate change nonsense lies straight from the pits of hell. Lord, thank you for the Word of God tells us, Lord, the truth about such matters. Lord, I pray you bless this service tonight. Lord, I'm getting carried away in this prayer, and there's so much, Lord, to pray for. But I pray for all those that be watching tonight and all those that be listening tonight. We just want to be a blessing. Bless Brother Patrick as he sings. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Come on there, Brother Patrick.
Maybe the mic will stay together today.
Yeah, that's just hard at it, brother. He put some kind of microphone on me over at Bethel. I jumped up about 3 foot tall, and that thing went one way, and I went the other way, and it put back on me. I never did let up.
All right.
Star Health's antibacterial fluoride stops cavities before they start. Crest.
Blessing, Lord.
The savings this moving season with Ponds. Save up to 25% now on moving and.
There is coming a day,
yes,
when no heartache shall come.
Bless you, Brother Patrick.
No more clouds in the sky, no more tears in the
eye. Thank you, Jesus.
Boundless peace forevermore. Woo! On that happy,
yes,
golden shore. What a day that will be,
yes,
when my Jesus I shall see.
Woo! Think about this.
When I look upon His face,
boy,
the One who saved me by His grace,
yes,
the One takes me by the hand,
boy,
and leads me through the promised land.
Oh my.
What a day,
what a day,
glorious day that will be.
Yeah.
There'll be no sorrow there.
Thank the Lord.
No more burdens to bear.
Hallelujah.
No more sin.
Come on.
No pain. No more heartache over there.
Thank you, brother.
And forever. Through the promised land, what a day, a sinner went away.
Flashy.
To prepare a place to stay. He's coming back someday.
Yeah.
To take his waiting by the way.
Woo.
And forever we will be.
Yes.
With the one who died for me.
Amen.
What a day. Glorious day that will be.
Amen.
What a day that will be.
Yes.
When my Jesus I shall see.
Amen.
When I look upon his face.
Oh my.
The one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through.
Hallelujah.
What a day, glorious day that would be.
Yes, yes.
What a day, glorious day that would be.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
I'll sing that one song that you like to sing.
All right.
I better get a drink first.
I'm gonna have one more in me. That one song you just sung is my grandmother's favorite song with snow white hair on her head. Boy, she'd shout, hear that song,
amen.
What a day that'll be.
I like shouting it too.
Amen. She loved that song.
Women everywhere choosing Appy X, the new Tummy Tuck alternative.
Tummy Tuck.
I
need one of them.
Yeah.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road. A sinner so far from home, no second chance in sight. I heard you call my name.
Jesus,
I felt you lift my sheep, and I made a vow that. I spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus,
yes.
Showing my scars, telling my story,
yes.
Of how mercy can reach you where you are,
yes.
And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my. Whispers that same old lie.
Yeah.
Keep all your pain inside, cause no one will understand. The last thing this lost world needs is someone I'm trying to be.
Bless.
Truth that has set me free. Since I'm just a broken man,
yeah.
Loving my Jesus,
yes.
Showing my scars,
yeah.
Telling my story,
bless
you, of how mercy can reach you where you are,
yes.
And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my. Gave all for me. all I have to show. Be all that matters most.
Yes.
Making your great name known. Let this be my only legacy.
Yeah.
Loving my Jesus.
Yes.
Showing my telling my story,
yeah,
how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole world hears the cry of my heart.
Woo!
It's to see all the ones I love, all the ones I love.
Amen.
Loving my Jesus.
Yes. Boy.
Amen.
Loving my Jesus. Oh my. The love wherewith he loves us. Glory to God.
Amen.
Boy, as old brother Patrick is singing that song. I was thinking about April 27, 1988, when Jesus made a house call at the 9000 Edmonton Road, an old drunk, hell-deserving sinner, didn't know God. I knew I needed God, but I didn't know how to find Him, didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do.
Amen.
Somebody told me, he said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, if you'll just ask Him, He'll forgive you, He'll save you. And that's really what I did. I knelt down in my bedroom back there, and I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me you love me.
Hallelujah.
Somebody told me that if I would ask you, you'd forgive me my sins and you'd save my soul. And I said, Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. No wonder they call it joy unspeakable. No wonder they call it peace that passeth understanding. There's no way to put it into words. You can't explain it, but you can experience it. I'm telling you, He won't turn you away. He's reaching out saying, come to me, I'll fix it. I've got everything you need.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, what a difference Jesus makes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, I wish I could go through it again, but He fixed it so good, I can't even get lost no more. I've tried to work it up. It just won't do it. Amen.
Yeah.
Our lesson, and I thank you for the good singing there. Wow. Brother Patrick, I just got blessed all over the place, and I like it on that fashion. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like being dry and cracker juice. I like it when you got tears. I like it when your heart's melting and your cup's running over. I heard somebody sing a song this week. It was a young girl, and she said, Lord, my cup won't hold it so much, but it'll run over. Oh, you want it to run over, Lord. And that was pretty good terminology there she put in that.
Amen.
We started these I Can Help You series. This is our 11th episode of the I Can Help You series. And our goal is to try to help people out there to not only to know that they're saved, but be able to get saved and know it. And I'm 100% saved. I don't go to and fro by everyone the doctrine. I'm rooted, grounded, I'm solid as solid can be. My house is on the foundation, nor the foundation but Jesus. I know Him personally. I could ask somebody, do you know Donald Trump? And they say, yeah. And I say, do you know Him personally? They say, well, no, I don't know Him personally. Well, I know Jesus Christ personally. He knows me personally, calls me by name, and I call Him by name, and you can too. Draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. He don't make it hard, He makes it easy. The hard part is crucifying that old flesh and giving up your life. Somebody said, it's my life, I'll do what I want to. Well, one day you're going to realize your life's but a vapor and appears for a little while, and you're going to want a longer life. You're going to want eternal life, and you're not going to be able to get that at Amazon. You're not going to be able to get that at Walmart. That only comes from Jesus. And I'll tell you what, He said, cried out, any man thirst, let him come unto me. I'm telling you, He can satisfy your thirst. Alcohol didn't satisfy mine, and I was a fool to drink much of it as I did. But He can satisfy your thirst. He can satisfy your hunger. He can put that void that's in here, He can make you whole. And I got to get with a lesson now. I'm looking at hands on that clock back there, and it's wearing me out. But we're in Acts chapter number 28. This is our 11th episode of the I Can Help You series. And that is our goal. We're just trying to help people. Acts chapter number 28. Paul has just been through a tremendous storm called Euroclydon. And they went, up and down. And they were desperate. They didn't think they was going to make it. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 20 of the last chapter, chapter 27, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, they were in worst case scenario. But the next verse, verse 21, says, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Boy, it wouldn't be good if people would listen to you and you could give them advice. Paul offered them advice. They wouldn't listen. He said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosened from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But he says, and now I exhort you to be a good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God have given thee all them that sail with thee. And he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And that's one thing you got to learn how to do. You got to believe God.
Amen.
And without faith, you can't please God. But here Paul has made it through all of that. And I should have read one more verse. Let me read one more verse here. Verse 26. He said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Well, here they are in chapter 28. They're on this certain island. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Matilla, which means calm. You know, they've been in a storm. Now they're in a place. They're not tossed to and fro. And verse number 2 says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. You know, Paul had said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he said, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Well, these are barbarous people, and you got a little bit of a racism here. I don't know what color their skin was. Paul didn't care. I don't even know what nationality they are. I mean, these heathens. He didn't care. Here Paul is. You know, he looks here, and these barbarous people, they're showing them some kindness. They kindled them a fire. They received them, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. In verse 3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Paul wants to win these barbarous people. He's not racist. He don't care what color their skin they are. No nationality, don't matter to him. They're barbarians. But Paul, if you'll notice verse 3, he's working. He ain't sitting there. He's out gathering sticks and he's laying them on the fire. They kindled them a fire in verse 2. Paul's stoking it up there in verse 3. And as he put this bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Here that old serpent slid out. That old serpent, Satan. Of course, it's really a snake. But similarity, same thing, right? When you're trying to do good, trying to do a work, you can count on that devil showing up. Amen. And it not only come out of the fire, came out of the heat, but it fastened on the hand of Paul. Here he is trying to go. I'll say this to Christians out there and to lost people out there too. God's not no respecter of person. I mean, he does love me with an everlasting love, but he loved me even before I got saved. Bible says God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved me before I even got saved. He loves me even more now that I am saved with the love of God that's been shed abroad upon us through Jesus. But here, Paul trying to do this work here. He's a Christian. He's bound. We'll find out here in a minute. Got him a chain. We'll get that here in a second. But he's made it through this terrible storm. They've made it to shore. These barbarous people are trying to help them here. They've kindled them a fire. And Paul, not just sitting there, you know, when I say what I'm saying here, most people, you know, they think somebody else is going to do it. Paul, he just gets immediately engaged, involved. He goes out, gets sticks, throws them on this fire, and here come, you know, something nobody was expecting. Here come a serpent out of that, a viper out of that heat and fastened on his hand. Verse number 3. And, you know, when that happened, I'm sure it caught a lot of people off guard, especially the barbarous people here. Verse 4 says that when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. And you know, we do that ourselves. Sometimes we look at somebody and we'll draw an opinion, and you know, we shouldn't do that, but we do. Well, they drew an opinion about Paul, and they determined Paul deserved this because he was no doubt a murderer, though he have escaped the sea, and yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And sometimes life's kind of like that, boy. I mean, the Bible said God not mocked, what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And some people think, you know, they can do whatever, have no consequences, especially in our day. No justice, no judgment, just no matter kill somebody, just turn them loose immediately. Hey, there remains a judgment. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You might want to be mindful of the fact one day it's going to be payday. Well, here, these heathens here, they've got a little bit of common sense. They said, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. And they thought, no doubt, Paul's going to die. I mean, this is a viper. This is a venomous venomous beast. And it got him on his hand. And even though they jumped to conclusions about old Paul, accused him in their mind of being a murderer, said, you know, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer. And they'll say all kinds of stuff about you too out there, Christians. Yeah. Don't let it bother you. Don't be thin-skinned. These barbarians, people needed Paul more than they realized. Paul, to him, it's just part of the territory. I mean, here in the book of Acts, them boys that took on themselves, cast that demon out of that man, that demon said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? So Paul, he's pretty familiar with some of this kind of territory here. Verse 5 said, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now, they changed their opinion of him. We'll go ahead and read verse number 6 because it goes hand in hand with verse 5. It says, howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen. They didn't just jump overboard about the fact, you know, that he shook his stake off. They said, won't be no time. He'll be dead. He'll be stone cold. Howbeit, they looked, and when he should have swollen, and he should have. Why didn't he, Brother Eddie? Because of what Jesus said. Might as well put that in here right now. When Jesus said here, all power is given unto me here in Mark chapter 16. If you'll notice, he said, they'll take up serpents. Verse 18, Mark 16, 18, Jesus said, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Paul done plenty of that. They shall speak with new tongues. He done all of that. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He's getting ready to do every bit of that. But here he is. He's got a serpent. He didn't want the serpent. It fastened on his hand. He shook it off in the fire. It's a pretty good way of taking up a serpent. And howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after a while, after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. You see, they jumped to another conclusion. These are barbarous people. And even though they're jumping to conclusions here, I want you to realize they're believing in God in a crude way. I mean, they didn't have a Bible. This is probably the only opportunity to know anything about the Bible is this man of God, this apostle Paul here. But they're jumping here and said, well, he's a god. I mean, here he is. The snake can't hurt him. He didn't die. They changed their mind. They said he was a god. And, you know, he got not altogether right, but he was the Son of God. And verse 7 says, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us. You see, they received them. And they showed them no little kindness, and it built them a fire. Well, here the chief man of the island, whose name is Publius, he received them and lodged them 3 days courteously, showing them all favor, courteous respect, trying to you know, minister to their needs, meet their needs. Verse 8, it came to pass that after the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now, these people have thought Paul, first of all, was a murderer. Now they changed their mind, said he was a god. And now they've received him. They're being courteous to him. He finds out, you know, this man's father, he's sick. He's got a fever. He's got a bloody flux. And Paul enters in and prays and lays his hands on him and heals him. And, you know, Paul just kind of returning the kindness, the favor they showed them. And says, so when this was done, others also. You know, as a Christian out there, we need to be doing good works. You see a need, somebody, you know, a lot of people you can help out there. And I'm not saying you got to do more than what you can do, but if there's something you can do, definitely do it. You'll notice what Paul did. It had like a ripple effect. After he done that, well, look here. When this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. And here Paul is. They're helping him. He's helping them. And, you know, he's probably changing the way these barbarous people look upon him. They're not seeing a murderer now. They're seeing someone now that can help them, that can heal them. And verse 10, who also honored us with many honors. I mean, they didn't have great riches, but I can say probably they put, you know, necklaces of flowers, kind of like they do in Hawaii, you know, put a necklace of flowers around their neck. They honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laden us with such things as were necessary. You know, they're trying their best to show gratitude, to show thankfulness for what, you know, Paul and them, they just kind of shipwrecked right here on this island. And they didn't come out, you know, and kill them. They came out, you know, and showed them kindness, killed them with fire. And now they're starting to realize there's something about this Paul. And they honored him and gave him things that were needed. Verse 11 says, after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. So I want you to notice this verse 13. It's kind of like a, what would you call this? Deja vu. Let's put it like that. I'll show you what I mean by that. Here, verse 13. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 27, verse 13, you'll see that when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had attained their purpose, loosened hence, and they sailed close by Crete. And then you got this next verse, this tempestuous wind called Euroclydon hit them, turned their world upside down. Well, here you got another episode here. Verse 13 says, and when that south wind blew, we came the next day. They didn't waste no time. They came to shore immediately. They came the next day to Puteoli, I don't know what, how you say that, beauty, Lord, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so went we towards Rome. They got out of the boat. They're done with this shipwreck stuff. They're walking now, and they're going towards Rome. And this next verse kind of rocked my boat a little bit. Says, from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apollonia, and in the three taverns. That three taverns, of course, I used to be a drunk, and I thought about that, but really, I guess it's probably a place where you eat back then. I don't know. I know Paul preached against drinking, being drunk, but it says, and they went with us as far as Apollonia, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, Paul's been on an island. He's been in a shipwreck. Now he's almost in another shipwreck here in verse 13. They went straight to the shore. The next day they went to shore, and they're on their journey towards Rome. And Paul here, he's thanking God, and he took courage. He's been through a big ordeal. Verse 16, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Here Paul's got another opportunity. Now he's been through, you name it, shipwreck. He's on an island. Man, I'm telling you, barbarous people. He's got here brethren that showed up to meet him. And you know, he's a little bit encouraged. He's thanking God. Now here he is. He's dwelling by himself with a soldier that's keeping him. He's got another opportunity. I remember hearing somebody wrote a song about this right here. I was chained to a man that told me things I didn't understand. Paul, no doubt, he's chained to this soldier. And you talking about a witness, Paul. He talked about, I witnessed to small and great, claiming to know none other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's a tremendous witness. Matter of fact, the Lord told him he wanted him to be a witness. In Acts chapter 26, he said to make me a minister and a witness. And he did that. He witnessed to people. I mean, he ceased not night and day to witness to people. Says here, it came to pass, verse 17, after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Paul is just explaining, I ain't done nothing wrong, and you're going to be accused of things that may not be true, and he's just trying to clear it up. He's just saying, I ain't done nothing. I'll really be honest with you. God done told him he had to appear before Caesar, and he's going to witness to kings, which he witnessed to King Agrippa, and he's going to be witnessing before Caesar. But he's clearing his name up a little bit right here, verse 17. Verse 18, who when they had examined me and would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me, but when the Jews spake against it, and I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. He said, you know, this is God's will. I'm going to Caesar, and he don't know whether he's going to live or die. He just said, I'm going. In verse 21, they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither came any of the brethren that came showed us, or that came showed us, or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee, what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect or this doctrine, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. So Paul's getting another opportunity here. And as Christians out there, let me say this to you. I've seen it my whole life. God's going to give you opportunities. I got one even today. Opportunities to speak to people in the elevators, in the hospital. Took my wife down to a Fairview hospital today. And you get opportunities to speak to people and to reason with them. And here he's given another opportunity, verse 22. We desire to hear of thee, that what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. Verse 23, when they had appointed to him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law and of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning to evening. Paul, I mean, he's laboring pretty hard. He's got the opportunity, and he's taking the scriptures, the law of Moses. He's taking the prophets. He's reasoning with them out of the scriptures from morning to evening. And if you notice verse 24, and some believed, and a lot of part of that verse says, and some believed not. That's the way it is. You reach what you can, and you do the best you can. And he said, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, and that happens. You have people, I mean, they have doubtful deputations, and they get in arguments, and they say, well, I've always been told this, and this is the way I was raised, and I'm not changing. You get all of that. And if you're going to be a soul winner, the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. You're going to have to know your Bible. You're going to have to know how to give a man an answer, ask you a question, raise a hope within you. So here, when they agreed not among themselves, they got division here. They departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Now let me explain that verse. Without the help of God, I don't care, you're just not going to hear it. It's just going to go over your head. Without the help of God, you're just not going to see it. I got glasses on to help me see, but there's no glasses to help you see what I'm teaching tonight. God's got to open your eyes. Amen. God's got to open your ears. God's got to open your heart. I'm telling you, when Jonah finally got out of that well, first thing he said is, salvation's of the Lord. Mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. Brother Eddie can't save you. Nobody else can neither. Only Jesus can save. But Paul here, he's putting his finger on the problem. He said, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. You know, in Acts chapter number 8, you got a man here, and he's trying his best here. And you know, the Holy Ghost done told Philip, go join yourself to this man here. And Philip goes up there, verse number 29. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now I want you to listen to what this lost man said. Verse 31, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And you know, Philip, he began at this scripture. He's in Isaiah 53. He began the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb down before his shears, so opened he not his mouth in his humiliation. His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? We got people down there that believe Jesus had children right here. Who shall declare his generation? He's cut off. His life is taken from the earth. In verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, Paul here, he's speaking also out of the book of Isaiah, and he just said, your problem is you're not letting God be God. You know, most people, they've got some kind of conception of God, and they don't realize their great need, not only of God, but also of the help of God. I couldn't even get lost without the help of God. God got me good and lost. Then God got me good and saved. Then God opened my eyes. And, you know, He counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. That's why I'm here tonight. And He says, verse 27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." That just means they've heard it more than once. Paul, we've heard that before. You know, in Noah's day, he preached for 120 years. And we went up there to see that replica of that ark. It's more than a one day's journey. Not just up there, but just to see all the things there is to see. But for 120 years, Noah preached and pleaded with people about a flood that was coming. And they said, "We don't see no flood. We've heard this before, Noah." And they mocked the man of God. And he kept building. He got the ark done. God put him in that ark, shut that door, and they realized they should have listened to the preacher. Anyway, he said, "Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they've closed." You know, Bible mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world have blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them." You know, there's a devil down here. He don't want you to know the truth. He wants to keep you from the truth. And then God puts people in your life and you don't want to hear it. You don't want to see it. You know, you just want to be left alone. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll go ahead and read verse 3. It says, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." Verse 4, "In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." They said here, you know, "Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." You mean tell me God didn't want to heal them? No, they just didn't want no healing. They turned it down. And we'll get to that here in a second here. He said, verse 28, "Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when they had heard these words, the Jews departed, had great reasoning among themselves, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years, in his own, you know, hired house means a rented place, in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him." He didn't turn nobody away. Jesus won't turn you away. You just got to come to him humble, be honest. You're not going to pull nothing over him. You know, you might fool old brother Eddie, it's not that hard. You're not going to fool God. He's the one that looks on the heart. And if your heart is humble, if your heart's sincere, if you're truly seeking forgiveness, He'll forgive you. He'll heal you.
Amen.
Well, here, Paul received all that came in unto him. Verse 31, "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching." Here Paul is preaching and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. Paul went through hell.
Amen.
To get to where he is right here. And I want you to notice the blessing of God on him. Last verse, you know, Acts is a book about actions. What we've been going through these 11 I Can Help You series, we're showing people in action, helping people, what they did to help them. And here Paul is, he's pleading with them, he's telling them what the problem is. They just shake it off, you know, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, they don't want to see, they don't want to hear, and really, to be honest with you, they don't even want to be converted. They got their own theology. They got their own ideas about everything. You know, I have to admit, I'm kind of glad that I didn't go to a false doctrine church. I'm glad I went somewhere where they preached the Word of God.
Amen.
And I didn't take that long route. I went straight to Calvary. I heard the Word of God. It got pricked in my heart. I knew for sure I was lost, going to hell. And the fear of God, I want you to know, it got a hold of me. And the pains of hell got a hold of me like a woman in travail with child. It didn't take me long. Hey, I want you to know, on a Sunday, I didn't get saved, but I got lost. On a Monday, I went seeking a refuge for my soul. I went out there to our darling sons, 10 acres underneath the roof there. I'm looking for a man that had always tried to talk to me about Jesus, and I always just walked away. And I tried to talk to him about things that wasn't fit to hear, and he respected me by walking away, and we respected each other. But I knew if I could find Wendell Shaw, he could tell me everything I needed to know on how to be saved. And I went out there in that factory, people working, I mean, they working hard. And I said, does anybody know where Wendell is? And they said, Eddie, we're busy. We don't know. We're busy. We ain't got time. Finally, somebody said, I think he's in the foreman's office. And he was in the foreman's office. And that foreman's name was Jimmy Hurston. And that man I was looking for, his name was Wendell Shaw. He was my pressman. I was his assistant pressman. He took advantage of every opportunity he had to talk to me about my soul. We'd be in there in the unit in there, changing a roller, working on something. Boy, he never gave up. And I went in that foreman's office, there in there talking about printing. I opened up that door, and I said, I don't care what neither one of y'all's talking about. I said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. And if I had a camera to take a picture of them men's face when I said that, it would be a, I'd probably get a Guinness, be a, what do you call that, one of them awards. I can't think of what I'm trying to say right now, but it'd be monumental, I'll say that. And that foreman had never really witnessed to me, and I don't hold that against him. I don't. I mean, that's a big place out there. But he did quote a lot of Bible to me. He planted the seed. My pastor did too. My pastor planted that message on every idle word that men speak or give account of. Day of judgment, he drove that thing home too, buddy. And Jimmy, he quoted, you know, like Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Just some simple verses like that. But Wendell saw it had no effect on me. Wendell said, Eddie, I want us to leave right now. Here's how simple salvation is. We walked out of that foreman's office, and right across from the foreman's office in that hallway is the door to the men's restroom. We were out there in that hall, people brushing our shoulders on both sides. Some of them going to the cafeteria to take a break. Others going to the men's restroom. And right there in that hallway, Wendell put it in such simple context. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. He said, Eddie, Jesus just waiting for you to ask Him to save you. I could understand somewhat of that. But this illustration that he gave, it was over the top what I needed. He said, Eddie, let me give you a simple illustration. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I forgive him, Wendell. He said, same way with God. Go to him, tell him you're sorry. Boy, that did. That hit home. I knew I'd forgive my boy no matter what he done. I mean, I knew I'd forgive him. And all of a sudden, I had enough faith to believe God to forgive me all I'd done. And I went home. In my little old bedroom, 9000 Ebony Road, went back there in my bedroom, knelt down, prayed that little simple sinner's prayer. God wondrously, gloriously, marvelously saved me. How can He know you're saved, Brother Eddie? Well, I had condemnation and guilt when I knelt down. And just as soon as I asked the Lord to forgive me and asked Him to save me, He took all that guilt and condemnation away immediately. I mean, it was gone so fast, I didn't know where it went. But what took its place was the peace of God that passes understanding, and the joy of being saved is so wonderful. But it was so wonderful to me that I had to go over and look in the mirror, and I guess I thought I was going to have a halo, I don't know. But when I looked in the mirror, I couldn't see no difference. But I'll tell you one thing, even though I couldn't see no difference, I couldn't hide the difference of being saved. My mama called me a fanatic, and I still am one. I always want to be a fanatic for the one that loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to be a faithful witness. I want to be a true witness. And I've tried to tell people how simple it is to be saved. God loves them. He don't make it hard. He's waiting right now for you to come to Him. He's got arms reaching out saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He said, you'll find rest under your souls. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. He's got what you need.
Amen.
Just you haven't went to Him to get it. You went everywhere else. You went, paid people big money. You went to the psychiatrist. You paid $30 an hour. You went to the doctor and he's gave you pill after pill after pill after pill. You went to your friends and you know they gave you kind of a run around their opinion. You go to Dr. Jesus, He'll give you one pill. It'll fix every problem you got. It's called the gospel. And I'll tell you what, them two tablets that Moses brought down out of Mount Sinai, all they'll do is get you good and lost. But that gospel gets you good and saved.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Eddie, just trying to help you. And I hope you listen to us tonight. And we're going to pray for you real quick right here. Father, I pray for those.
Real quick, sorry.
Okay.
Tammy said to pray for Judy's great-grandson. He had surgery procedure today. And pray for the little one that is 11 months old and his mother.
See, run it by me again. Tammy said pray for Judy's great-grandson?
Judy's great-grandson had surgical procedure today. And pray for the little one that is 11 months old and his mother.
Little one, 11 months old, and mother.
Yes.
All right, we'll throw that in here. Father, we pray real quick, Lord, for those that was listening tonight. Lord, we try to use great simplicity. Lord, we try to use great illustrations. Lord, we can't get no greater than the Bible. Just trying like Paul did, expounding there upon the Scriptures and explaining them. That's what we was trying to do. And I pray for those people out there, Father God, tonight. They're in the valley of decisions, and Lord, they don't know what to do. I want to be like a compass, Lord. I want to point them to you. And I pray, Lord, that they'll find their way to Calvary. And Lord, I pray they'll get a refuge for their soul. Pray they get their sins on the blood, name in the book. Get that joy of being saved, that peace of being saved. I pray for them. Yes. Father, we pray for Judy's great-grandson, Lord. We pray for Judy, Geraldine, and her great-grandson. And Lord, we pray for that 11-month-old baby and her mother. And Lord, we know there's a million other people out there right now needing prayer. And Lord, the best way we know how, we lift them all up to you, Lord. You're rich unto all that call upon you. Your grace is offered to all. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. We just pray, Lord God, you would meet their needs. Bless them and help them. Lord, thank God you're in heaven on the throne. It's above every throne. Lord, if it was in the hands of man, we would have done destroyed ourselves. But I'm glad, Lord, that you've got control of everything. There's not even a sparrow that falls that your eye doesn't see. Bless your children. Help those that are lost. Bless your churches. Help them to keep the doors open. Help them to keep the lights on. Thank you for Brother Patrick coming tonight, Lord, to help us. We wanted to finish this lesson in Acts tonight. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory for all that you do. And Lord, we ask all these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming, Brother Patrick.